This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
So I might as well get straight into the Word of God, because my life's not exciting enough to capture any of your attention, but the Word of God thankfully is. And 2 Kings chapter 7, actually we'll just read chapter 6 and have a look at verse 24. This is really interesting. Sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram. You like my pronunciations there? We come from multicultural shepherd, and so getting better on the pronunciations of some of these things. It's probably completely wrong, but it sounded impressive. Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. There was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver and a quarter of a cab of seed pods for 5 shekels. And that donkey's head's for food, not for an ornament. So we see here, if you want to get into the story, we're on the side of the besieged Samaria. That's our side, as you'll see in 2 Kings chapter 7. So the baddies are the ones that are oppressing the Aramites, and we're on Samaritan side. Now, things are not going well here. They hold it siege. Nobody can get out of the city. And typically, if you've got a walled city, you need to get out to get in amongst the crops and the animals and all that sort of stuff, make sure everything's working. I'm not exactly sure in history about water and all that, but things are really, really crook. And it's just so horrific that a donkey's head sounds like a decent meal. Now, I've eaten some strange things in some travels. One of my favourites was goat's intestines out in the outback of Mozambique. Surprisingly tasty. And they say that everything tastes like chicken. So, you know, whatever it may be, crocodile, snake, you know, everything tastes like chicken. So there you go. But the goat's entrails were good. But I've never eaten a donkey's head before. I must confess, having a soup once in Kenya, and the lights were not very good because that costs money, electricity. So we're eating and I felt this sharp thing as I was eating a broth, and I looked and it was a chicken's head's beak. So, but that was thrown in the soup, so that may be a bit of a delicacy. But I've never run into a donkey's head in my soup, and I'm not sure that you have either. So we're in a bit of trouble here. Fast forward to chapter 7, please. Elisha the prophet, thank you. He's got good words from the Lord. He says, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seah of flour will sell for a shekel and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." And the officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen?" And it's a rhetorical question saying, "This is impossible." And Elisha answers, "You'll see it with your own eyes, but you won't eat any of it." A miracle is going to happen. Now we see here, basically to put this in perspective, Elisha's saying, yeah, donkey's head's the delicacy. Tomorrow you can have as much as you want just for a shekel. So something's going to change drastically. And here's the story of how this siege is lifted. Verse 3. "Now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, 'Why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die.'" Some good options so far. "So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die." So at this rate, from my mathematics, we've got a 3 in 4 chance of dying. It's not looking too good. We'll see what happens. "At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So that they said to one another, 'Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us.' So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. And then they said to each other, we're not doing right. This is a day of good news and we're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, we went into the Aramean camp and not a man was there, not a sound of anyone, only tethered horses and donkeys. And in this instance, the donkeys don't look like good food. Something's changed. And the tents left just as they were. The gatekeepers shouted the news and it was reported within the palace. And we're going to pause there and we'll hear how the story ends. But I want to encourage you today with some points that I learned from reading this story. It was just one of those stories, you know. I've got one of those Bible apps that you can get through the Bible in a year. I do it chronologically. And I really encourage you, if you've got a smartphone, you know, you can even listen to the Bible, let some smooth sounds of some American guy read the Bible to you. So we can, you know, be constant in our Bible reading. But sometimes when you're a preacher and you're reading the Bible, something sticks out and you say, this is not just for me, this is for the congregation. And this was one such instance. And as you'll see as I go through this talk, there are some things in this story that are very, very relevant to us as 21st century Christians. How many people know the Word of God is inspired? And thousands of year-old stories can teach us so much. And the gospel is in this story. The gospel was always God's idea. For those of you that may be visiting today, the gospel is the good news about Jesus. And if you keep coming here, you'll hear about what that good news means. The gospel has always been there, though. Even though Jesus came later on in the book, there's the gospel in this story, as you'll find out. A bit of background. Samaria is the capital of Israel. These days, if you try and find it, you'd probably be looking in the West Bank of modern Israel. The oppressor is the Arameans, and they come from Syria, modern-day Syria, somewhere around Damascus, they think. So that's geographically what's going on here. They're rival nations. Now, the king of Israel, his name is Joram, and he's a God blamer. So he's not a good king. He's a God blamer, probably similar to Ahab, as you were saying before, David. Joram is a God blamer, and that's obviously not good leadership. And things are at their worst, as I've already said. Now, let's pick up this story a little bit. We've got lepers here. Now, lepers typically are not a popular part of community in the Bible. Neither the Old Testament nor the New Testament has lepers in any place of honor or community. It's a really bad lot if you've got leprosy. And we can see that in this story because they're placed outside the gates. Now, I would imagine this is not a good place to be. We've learned in this story that inside the gates is bad enough. We're eating donkey heads and we're spending our life savings to get it. But at least somehow there might be a little bit of safety behind the walls. But these lepers not allowed in community, theirs is even worse. Not only are they starving, but they are on the outside of the gate. So sometimes we can feel like that, you know, we've got community and they're not necessarily doing well, but I'm outside a community and I'm doing worse. But God doesn't forget the leper. God doesn't forget the forgotten person. We may, but God doesn't. And God uses the despised things of this world, the despised people of this world, to do his very, very best things. It's what I love about the gospel. We come from a town called Shepparton, and I was saying to the boys yesterday, you know, if you got Australia's most, and it's a headline in the Herald Sun, and you put a bad word after it, invariably you'll see Shepparton in that article. So Australia's worst crime area, Shepparton. Australia's most unemployed, Shepparton. Our latest one that we're very proud of, Australia's most obese, Shepparton. So we've got 3 McDonald's in our town. So there's a reason. You know, you got one in Tacoma and they didn't even want that. So maybe I'm preaching to the wrong area here, but, you know, where I come from, it's full of losers, so to speak. And that's why I'm so excited about our church, because we can fill our church with losers and see the same things that have happened for thousands of years, God using losers to do great things. We're getting new chairs here as with us as well. And in fact, I think they're exactly like yours. So I can see that in Monbulk, where there are about 4,000 people, there are probably a bunch of losers in Monbulk that need to find their way into these seats with the rest of you losers. Are you with me? Can I keep going, or are you going to kick me out the door for calling you all losers while I'm smiling? They call that smiling assassin. Velvet sledgehammer. Bang. So God wants to work through lepers. And not only does he want to, he does work through lepers. And I've got high hopes that something will happen here where you won't, I mean, you've got these beautiful new chairs. You're not going to struggle to fill them as the gospel is proclaimed and as the life and the authenticity of the gospel is here amongst us. What a precious church. Don't underestimate yourselves, because you're probably better than lepers, and look what they've done in this story. So let's be awake for what God has to do. Seven lessons from this story. Number one, we are to believe the word, not circumstances. We are to believe the word, not circumstances. You know, even the leaders of this nation did not believe because things were so crook. And I mean, understandably so. You're eating donkey's heads and you can see, and thankfully most of the children are out here. It's horrific. You know, your own children become a tasty proposition. This is the story. You know, it's bad. Circumstances don't get much worse than this. I've never been in an instance where any of my kids look like a good meal. Thank God for that. Although the little one, he's got that nice little pot nose. That's a joke. I've already told you you're losers, and I've just admitted I'm a cannibal. This is going to make the front page of the local paper by Monday. Let's keep going. We're from Shepparton, Australia's worst people. So we need to believe the word, not circumstances. And we see here that in the human perspective, things are disastrous. But in the godly perspective, things are just about to happen, and it's an opportunity. It's not a disaster, it's an opportunity. And so we can apply this to our own personal lives, and it's all through Scripture, particularly in this story and many others, is that it doesn't matter what's happening, God's opportunity for a miracle is there. And we need to lift our eyes to the heavens and not on the immediate things we see. And look, as Christians, I really feel for people who ride the circumstantial life, you know. So if things are going well, you know, we might have, if you've got a business, secured a big contract and feeling good, there's income coming in, we're up. And then maybe our wife looked at us the wrong way and said something mean and, you know, just said, you're a hopeless husband, then we're down. And then we're back up again because David preached a great sermon and filled us with encouragement. And then we got home and the dog died and we're back down again. You know, we live like that sometimes, but we shouldn't. And I hate hearing the word shouldn't, you know, cause don't do that, but really don't do that, because God is so wonderful and he's so awesome, and circumstances will go up and down. It's called life. In fact, I loved our first two songs on that point, where, you know, blessed be your name when things are up, when things are down, blessed be your name, because sure as anything, God, you're not changing. And that was the Israelites' experience there. Secondly, God works through teams. It was interesting, it wasn't just one leper, it was four. And I want to say here, and I mean this is a bit of a side point, but we're not all here to cheer on David and Beverly. It's us. It's a team. And these guys, they went together. And I believe that leadership is plural. You need good, strong leaders and even senior leaders, but there needs to be a team. And to enjoy the prophets of the Lord, with an F, prophets, we are to act as a team. That's a good one, isn't it? God works through teams. Proverbs 15, verse 22. And there's actually a bunch of Proverbs on this principle. And just as you're going there, you know, these lepers, they work together. They'd be desperate people. And we see many stories, you watch movies, where desperate people don't work together. But these lepers had an agreement. They had unity. And interestingly enough, when they had unity, something good happened. And I know that we have unity here. We have unity with other churches. Something happens when people are in unity, and God works through teams. And I want to just really say, beware the lone wolf mentality. It's not part of the Scriptures. It's not part of our MFI beliefs. You know, somebody's got a special revelation and everybody's subservient to that person. That's a very dangerous proposition. Eldership is plural. It's a good idea to have not just a pastor, but a good eldership team. And so Proverbs 15 verse 22 here says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. With many advisors they succeed. So God works through teams. Next one, point number three. Action is required. And we said that to the men yesterday, so let's bash us with that point again. Action is required, and God rewards the risk takers. So we see this clearly in this story in verse 4. Like I said, they had a three-quarters chance of dying. And so they resolve that, you know what, let's go over to the Arameans. Let's surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die. So there's really a faith aspect to this. These lepers, the safe option would have just been to stay outside the gate and wait to see what happens. Pin your hopes on the Israelite king rather than the King of Kings. And so they didn't do that. They took matters into their own hands. They stepped out in faith and they believed that something amazing could happen. Now, I'm guessing that the chances really were very, very slim that they could just walk into that camp and expect to get any mercy. It wouldn't be consistent with ancient war practices that I read in the scriptures. Typically, they just kill everybody. But they gave it a chance, and that chance was rewarded. Now, I'm not suggesting, and we must be careful as preachers, that we don't give you the wrong idea. I'm not suggesting that we take risks that are A, not godly, and B, you know, could end in really, really big trouble because some preacher says, look, we need to take more risks. I would suggest that the risks we take are the risks that we believe we have the green light from God. Otherwise, we can find ourselves in not very good places. But nonetheless, how many people know that God wants us to get on the front foot? God wants us to push the boundaries in a godly way. God wants us to, for example, share our faith when we're fearful. It's a good idea. And I want to tell you the story, because it's all about a mentality, and you may have heard this story before about an old useless donkey. And the donkey's a bit of a pattern today. And there's this old useless donkey, and the farmer's had enough. And he says, you know what, old donkey, you're gone. I'm going to bury you. Still alive, but just well past his use-by date. And sometimes we feel like this as Christians. And this point of this story is that to take action is a great thing. To take a risk is a great thing. So the farmer throws this donkey in a pit. He gets a lot of his mates over, gets a big pile of dirt, and they start putting the dirt on the donkey. If you've heard this, you'll love it. If you haven't heard it, you're going to love it soon. And so the donkey's sitting there feeling sorry for himself. He's old. He's got sore knees. You know, he's had his day in the sun. That day has gone very much to the nighttime, and nothing much is happening. So he's feeling really, really sorry for himself. He's angry at the farmer. And he goes, oh, now they're burying me. I'm going to die. This is my time. And then some sort of godly resolve comes up in him, and he says to himself, shake it off and step up. And so he shakes the dirt off. The dirt settles, and he steps up. And he shakes it off, and he steps up. He shakes it off, and he steps up. And eventually, as the dirt rises, he's free of the dirt. He walks up out of the pit and into the rest of his life. And that's what it's like as us as Christians. You know, it's about being able to push forward, being able to take some risks, being able to be people of action, not just let things happen and think that we're past our use-by date. What's the point? You know, God has a great use for every single one of us. I see that we have some more mature Christians here that have been on this earth a while. I think you've got a lot of use in the kingdom, and I hope that your own church has given you that impression, because it's true. If you've known the Lord for a while and the grey hairs are there, or maybe the hairs have receded a little bit, you know, you've got a lot to teach, and you're a part of this body, and there is a reason that you are here, and it's not just to hear good preaching from somebody else, but it's also to input the wisdom that God has given you. Because I know young whippersnappers like me need to learn from those that have been there before, hand on heart, with open ears, say, please teach me. Because even though we might preach well and do some things well, we've still got a lot to learn. Let's be realistic here. Okay, so there's enough on that one. Next one. Four, God goes before us, we don't go before him. It's interesting that these lepers walk into a situation that's done. You know, I got this notion, particularly this year, that God's going to do things, and then we walk to them and think, wow. David had an experience like that pastorally this week, you know, where you get it. Just something happens. You're not even there. You go there and you don't realize, man, God's already been here. Isn't that good? You know, I always had this thing, oh, I've got to witness and, you know, be a friend and pray for people. And I'm putting so much, focus on myself. I'm not God's answer to everything. Sure, he can use me. And I've led people to Christ even recently on a bit of a roll by the grace of God. But, you know, it's not up to me. People can come to Christ on their knees. We got this lady at the moment, just started coming to church. She's only a visitor, but she's actually given her life to Christ by reading, is it Margaret Court, the Christian? Yeah, she read a book, total non-believer in her 50s, read a book. There must have been something in the book about Jesus. And so she spent her next 6 weeks visiting all the local churches to find out who Jesus was. It's a bit like these lepers stumbling across this camp. God's already been there. I've never witnessed to her. I don't even know who she is. I don't even know if anybody's witnessed to her. But God's got to her before we got to her. We've been praying, so maybe that's why it's happened. But Jeremy, please don't overrate yourself, mate. You don't have to be involved. You're not the Messiah. You don't have to be in every single situation as passionate as you are. I don't think you know what you're doing. I know what I'm doing, says the Lord. I'm the big man. I'm the real man. I'll go before you. I'll go behind you. I'll go with you. Just let me do what I'm doing. So God wants to use us, as we've just said, but he's more than capable of doing things without us as well. And so God goes before us. We don't go before him. He fights our battles when we trust in him. He fought this battle for the Israelites and for these lepers, and he fights much better than us. I fight a bit like a girl. You know, you even hold your fist like a girl. No. You're not allowed to say that. Are you allowed to say that in Mombolk? Wouldn't be able to say that in Fitzroy. Yeah, oh yeah, I'm scared of some of your girls. Yeah, they got to. I better move on to the next point. Point five, our God provides. Our God provides. And it really follows on from the last point. Our God provides. We heard a testimony of that from Tim yesterday as a prayerful man. Times that were a struggle, his God and our God provided for him. And you know, this is really like a Steve Bradbury situation. You know, that ice skater where he's just at that last turn and everybody else falls over and he's looking saying, no, this is too good to be true. And I love that footage of his face when he realizes that all these magnificent skaters that are miles ahead of him have all come off, and then he just comes past going like this. And I could just imagine the lepers. They're just going, this is too good to be true. We couldn't even get the donkey's head to eat because that cost too much money. Sure as anything, we can't work. But look, we've got gold, we've got silver, we've got food. And what are they packing all this stuff in their camps for? Show-offs? You know, so we've got all this stuff. How good is that? God provides. And that, as our brother Brendan just kept saying, grace yesterday, that's the grace of God. Sure as anything, the lepers didn't deserve it. Sure as anything, the Israelites didn't deserve it. But the grace of God is lavished upon us. Not just a little speck of gold when you go to Bendigo and you spend 3 hours in the river and you get this little speck of gold. God lavishes his grace upon us. He provides. He knows all we need, and he eventually will provide. He doesn't do it straight away necessarily. This in this instance, it was the 11th hour. But he got there because he's a faithful God. And how many people, how many of us, and I've done it before, I give up on God just before he was about to do his thing. They say that the night is darkest just before the dawn. We give up and then the sun appears. You know, and the leaders of Israel, that's what they were doing. This poor guy that the king leaned on said, no, it's too late. We're all beyond all hope. And he missed out. All right, number six. And my last number point for today. Oh, my second last point, actually. Good things come in seven. That's why I must have had seven. For a Christian, blessings have to be shared. And I'm going to go back to that one. And then the last one, fear cripples. Number six, for a Christian, blessings have to be shared. And for number seven, fear cripples. And, you know, I just have to preach this point. God has lavished his grace and blessings upon us. Now, the majority of us here are Christians, and that is our lot. That is us right here, right now. When Christ purchased us with his blood, we have had so many blessings poured upon us that we have a whole storehouse of his grace and his favor. That's facts. Irrespective of circumstance, that is facts. And that was the lot of these lepers this day. And this Steve Bradbury moment where they realized that all their dreams had come true and their eyes were wide. I think they forgot about their skin condition at that point. And I love the words of these men. I absolutely love them. And here are four losers that had no right being in the business that they were in. And yet, at that one moment where their selfishness and their stick it to Israel, because we've been living outside the gate all this time, they had their chance to be bitter, to just enjoy the wealth for themselves, but something of within them to want to tell good news started to percolate. And they had no real incentive to do it. I'm imagining being outside that gate. I'm imagining being with those boys there. And you know what? I mean, I grew up in a poor area of Shep, and we had a real chip on our shoulder. You know, that other school, that they're full of rich kids. And, you know, we had that kind of mentality. My mate decked an umpire when we were playing junior footy, got 10 years, and we thought it wasn't fair. The umpire deserved it. It was that kind of mentality. You know, when you're on the outside, you start to think that way. But these guys, something within them rose up, saying, we need to let people know this good news. We can't contain it to ourselves. We can't keep it to ourselves. We must let other less fortunates know the fortunate situation that we find ourselves in. And I really felt as a point of emphasis, and we really need to finish on this point, that is for Mombolt Christian Fellowship. I mean, you've got a beautiful building. You've got a Christ that died for your sins. All the blessings in the world, whether you're in debt or whether you own your house freehold, all the blessings of eternity are ours here today. And I wonder if four losers on the outside of a camp who have no business still feel compelled to tell the good news, how much more so those of us that are living in a much more educated and spirit-filled world. The spirit within us compels us to share. And so one of my topics yesterday was to be a man of mission. Well, really, it's not just the men here. It's for all of us, including our children, to share the good news. You know, my little Zach, he tells his friends about Jesus because he loves Jesus. For him, it's simple. It's simple. And I wonder, you know, we make it so complicated as we get older. And I can tell the Holy Spirit is encouraging people here. And I'm not suggesting you go out and make a fool of yourself. You know, if God tells you to do this, fine. But we've got a guy in our town, and he gets a little step, and he holds an old King James Bible, and he stands on the corner and he preaches. But there's no one on the corner. It's just cars driving past. Now, I don't personally recommend you go and do that. It might make people think this place is weird. But if God tells you to do that, fine. But until he does, don't. But do we know people that we can start to share, and maybe we haven't yet? Unless we live in a Christian bubble, the answer is yes. Maybe at school for your younger ones, or university. A lot of us have family that doesn't know the Lord. You know, we have that good news that these lepers have, and it's our opportunity to share it. And so the seventh point is they overcame their fears and they went. You know, we can overcome our fears here. And fear cripples us in this regard. Now, I got this belief that we can be supernaturally natural in sharing the gospel and naturally supernatural in sharing the gospel. You know, we don't need to be Christian weirdos. I've shared Christ with so many people, and it's a matter of fact. It's not, oh, my brother, the Lord has told me to speak to you and I'm going to lay hands on you right now. That's the end of that conversation, unless God really does tell me to do that. We need to be natural. And there's a supernatural ability to be natural and be relatable. And maybe another time I can share some thoughts on how to witness. But you get the point here. God says we've got this good news, and like those lepers, we are compelled to share in a supernatural way and in a very natural way that's relatable to a cynical Australian public that still have a heart that longs for eternity. And I don't care what these evolutionists say and everybody believes we're this and we're that. Deep down, God's put, because he created us, an eternity-sized gap in everybody, and we've got that in our favour that the Green Party don't have, all the politically correct people don't have, all the Satanists don't have. None of them have that situation of a God-shaped hole in every heart, and that's the advantage that we have when we speak to people that don't know Jesus, because deep, 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 deep down, and sometimes it's hard to get there, deep, 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 deep down, they know you're right. I got this saying, I made it up and I reckon it's really clever, but someone else probably made it up before me. People are very convincing, but they're not convinced. Please understand that. People are very, very convincing, but they're not convinced. You know, the person that shouts and screams the loudest, and maybe when this church was being built, said, don't let them build a church there, that's evil. That's the person I reckon is not convinced. The fact they're so upset about it, I think, well, I've got a chance with this one. It's great. They actually care less. The person that just says, do what they want. I'm not worried about that person. Give me the guy 30 years ago that tried to stop this place being built. That's the one that's convincing, but he's not convinced. And so for each of us, I think we're getting the point of what the Holy Spirit's saying now. Let's pray. And I just really sense, I've got a strong sense that the Holy Spirit is doing something here. Please hear me carefully. I'm not coming here saying our church is better or my ministry is better and you need to be like us. But I really believe the Holy Spirit is encouraging us. For those of us that witness and share Jesus, continue. Be encouraged. You're on the right track. This is not a condemning word, like I was saying to the guys yesterday. But I'm pretty sure, if I could be ever so bold, that there are some here and God is saying to you, you know what, daughter, son, I'm speaking through that man right now and you need to listen. And you need to obey. The good news, be compelled to share it. Be compelled to share it. Be like those four lepers because you're actually even more resourced than they are to share the good news. They couldn't help it, but go back and share even to their enemies. How much more so we as New Testament Spirit-filled Christians. And I believe that there are some that God is calling for more. And if that's you, I'd like you to stand. And because the Lord has graced me with the gift of evangelism, I believe that can be imparted. Doesn't mean you'll be an evangelist, but you can work as an evangelist, as Timothy was encouraged by an older Paul. So if God's challenging your heart now, I'd like you to stand, and I'd like you to come forward, and I'm going to place hands on you for an impartation of a supernatural ability to share the good news with others. So if you would come, and it would be my honor to pray with you, as this service reaches its conclusion. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And I really appreciate that we are a congregation that's in unity here today. So I'm not going to take forever. That's not my place. But we believe that there is a God here, as those that are coming forward are reaching out, there is a wonderful God that will impart something to those that are asking for a fresh anointing in regards to sharing their faith. And what I'm going to ask for is buy-in. We are committed as a congregation to this. So those that are in their chairs that are already doing this, or perhaps just not yet ready for what's been said, would you please just agree in prayer, because we're a team here. Agree in prayer if you're able, extend your hand. If you're not, in your heart, please be praying. And as we just lay hands on each one of these, let's see the power of God fill them afresh to share their faith in Jesus' name. Lord, we just go through each and every one of these precious saints in Jesus' name. And Lord, we lay hands on them and we believe for something supernatural, Lord. For something supernatural to be shared, because they have the greatest story of all. They have the greatest story ever told. And that is the story of a son that was sent from a loving God. And so, Lord, we pray for these ones. We pray that you would fill their hands and fill their lips with the good news of Jesus Christ, even as you've given them the blessing, Lord, even as you've given them the blessing of eternity, Lord God, and being saved, Lord, we pray, just like these lepers, that they couldn't keep it to themselves. And so, Lord, we pray for the right time, to the right person, in Jesus' name, the right people. Lord, even if it's just one, we're not going to live in guilt. We're not going to say, oh God, I haven't done the give this passion even just for the one, even just for the one. Lord, we don't have to speak to crowds. You love the one. And so, Lord, as we lay hands on every single one, Lord, we pray for friends. We pray for family. We pray for backslidden family, Lord. We bring them back in Jesus' name. Even in this church this week, it's been prayed that you would bring the backsliders back. So, Lord, bring them back, we pray. And bring them back through these people, Lord, as they reach out to the ones they love. Lord, that you would bring them back. And, Lord, for those that have never heard your word, that these ones would be able to go to places that their pastor can't. Lord God, there are many, many lanes and many little roads that not everybody can get to, but different ones here will be able to get to. Lord, we see those avenues open up in Jesus' name. We see those dark, dingy paths that are overgrown, but someone's going to walk through and get to the inhabitants of those places and going to share the good news, because Monbulk needs Jesus, and Monbulk needs people that love Jesus, that will share Jesus in a supernatural way and yet a perfectly natural way. And so, Lord, we thank you for the response here today. We thank you for the unity here today. We thank you for the authenticity and the genuine desire to serve the living God. And Lord, it's not just about discipleship. It's about sharing that blessing that you've given us as we've been discipled. So Lord, this is a crack team of evangelists. Lord, they will do the work as a team. Lord, you'll rise up individual evangelists, but each of them will work as evangelists, we pray. And we thank you for the support of the congregation. We don't forget them, Lord, and the ones that are already doing it. We thank you, Lord, for those that are already doing it. And Lord, we thank you today that the team is growing. And Lord, we're encouraged in Jesus' name to see the team grow and to move in Jesus' name. And this place, Lord, we declare every single new church, new chair filled with somebody that does not belong to this place, that they will belong and that you would fill those chairs. Lord, these chairs, interestingly enough, as I arrived today, these chairs have been purchased for the sinners. We declare that in Jesus' name. This place shall be a hospital in Jesus' name, where the sick shall come, and they shall come and they shall be healed, we declare in Jesus' name. And so for every empty chair, Lord, we pray for these chairs. Don't tend to do this, but we pray for each and every one of these chairs. The empty ones in Jesus' name would be filled with sinners as our congregation reaches out to the lost with this good news that we can't keep to ourselves. Lord, that you would fill the chairs in Jesus' name. We believe for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Not for our own glory, but because your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will be done, because Monbulk needs Jesus. Monbulk needs Jesus. We love Monbulk. We love our town. And we declare that it belongs to Jesus. Lord, would people come? Would this be a lighthouse, as was sung today, a lighthouse right here? Not just for us, but for the community. Lord, for this fashion parade, as many, many women come and see this building. Lord, that something supernaturally, even though it's a natural event, Lord, that you would open the eyes, even as these lepers' eyes were opened. Lord, that you would open the eyes of the ladies from this community, the young women from this community, as they come. Lord, even though it might not be a Christian event, but they would come and that they would see a glimpse of your glory when they're here. Yes. Even as they come up the driveway, Lord, that you would flood them with a sense of peace. Yes. They would feel, what's about this place? It's different. It's not dark. There's light here. And that they would sense your spirit. They would sense your peace and your comfort. And Lord, that these ones would field community queries from people in community, from ladies in community, from their husbands, from their boyfriends. Lord God, that there would be people that would say, you know that church, Monbulk Christian Fellowship, what do they do there? Who's there? What's going on there? What happens on a Sunday? Lord, that they would start to field those queries more and more and more. And Lord, it wouldn't just rest on one or two, but this team, this church, would be able to give them the answers that their souls are crying out for, we declare in Jesus' name. Exciting days. Lord, what are we here for unless we're here to grow your kingdom? We don't just want to be discipled. We want to be disciplers as well. Help us, we pray in Jesus' precious name. in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to believe. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. And thanks to everyone who's supporting in prayer. I know sometimes when you're sitting there and other people respond, we can think, oh, it's good for them. But it's just great to get everybody praying together. We're a team. You know, God's doing work. Just because you're standing up doesn't mean he's not doing work in the chairs as well. I know that full well. Let's not just pretend it's about the front. So thank you. We're a team here. And I just want to encourage you as a visitor who can be long-winded, but I'm going to just encourage you before they kick me out the door that, you know, the unity in this place is so crucial. If there's any pockets of unrest or, you know, where things aren't right, please work it out. Because of what I've just said, we can't get stuck on that stuff. So if there's anyone that's really, really upset here and you're cranky with somebody, that's okay. It makes you normal. Well done. You've just joined the rest of us. Really, if you're cranky with someone, that's normal. But if it's big enough that it's getting to your heart, please deal with it because the gospel needs to get out. And we spend so much time working out our own stuff, getting cranky, holding grudges and divisions, and we miss out on the call. I've given us the call here today as a fresh reminder. And I just sense, I'm believing the Holy Spirit is saying this, just that unity, it's a good thing. Remember one of those points, that unity, we're together. Doesn't mean we're all best friends, but we've got it. We've got our peace. We've got our unity, and that's for a reason. Not so that we can run a happy, joy, Monbolt Christian Fellowship. We're a wonderful club, although that's already happening, but it's so that we can reach out that driveway and up around the corner, right up to Mitre 10, and everyone up around there, they need this place. They need this God. We can do it together in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbolt Christian Fellowship.